Honourable members and delegation from the health department, you are most welcome, and other members who have joined us today. They, I will give them an opportunity to introduce themselves. I see that we have a big entourage behind me. I'm not sure where it has come from. Yeah. So members, other members are still coming to join us in this meeting. I thought that it's important that we start, they will find us as we are proceeding with the meeting. And the agenda stands, we are having a briefing or presentation from the Department of Health on the audit of public health facilities. You will remember that we requested this presentation, member. We also have the consideration of, after the department has left the meeting, we'll be dealing with the adoption of committee minutes and also the adoption of committee second term program. And yeah, there are also announcements that we would like to make to the committee. Okay, let me go straight to the introduction, members. Can we start with the introduction? I will start from my seat, then we'll go down and round the table, round and behind. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah, the member coming in. I'm Nomonde Khasmeli, the chairperson of this committee from Northwest. Ma'am?
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm going to the chairperson of the Northwest Province.
Good morning. My name is Willem Farber. I represent the Northern Cape Province, and I'm on the select committee.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Michael Davalis, and I'm also a member of the committee. Thank you. Yeah, representing the Western Cape. Sorry, Chairperson.
Lochani Lokulma Umaroto or representing Pumalanga.
Morning, Noma Kiki Majola from KZN.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Les Govender from KwaZulu Natal also on the Health Portfolio Committee. Thank you.
Good morning, I'm Dinesh Srinaika. I'm here representing SAMED, Medical Device Association in South Africa.
I'm Precious Matsusa, Director General of Health.
Good morning, I'm Lonnie Wolmerans from the Chief Directorate Policy Coordination and Integrated Planning at the National Department of Health.
I'm the Technical for the National Department of Health.
Good morning, honorable members. My name is Joe Khata. I'm the Parliamentary Liaison Office of Ministry.
Okay, and a warm welcome to our colleagues. I forgot that we've got colleagues from provinces who have joined us. Warm welcome to you. Thanks very much for coming. Well, come on, it's right, you can join us.
Which one is behind you? Where are you from? Where do we study? Yeah, I don't know. I want to know what
I'm remote on the
business side. Okay. Okay.
Yes? I'm shortly from Medical Council for Houston.
Okay. Okay, on that note, let's just take this opportunity to allow the department to make its presentation to the committee. Over to you, ma'am. Did you?
Thank you,
Do we have it, members? This is just one page that will assist us to understand some of the things.
I want to start with this definition so that members know what the concept is to the audience. So when you start with this audience, basically on the last nonsense standards that have been presented to the nation. These are the nonsense standards that are promised to apply when the Office of Health Standards compliance is established in the amendment bill.
Sometimes it seems that they don't own the land. It's not like those and what patients' expectations were, and knowledge of their rights and responsibilities five
functional areas. The question about capacity, what kind of capacity is available in a facility? Now we recognize that it's not every facility that will have this facility. But what was significant is the fact that only in the understanding that a facility does not have these two facilities. The question is, how are these services accessed? And how far do people have to travel to access the facility? And here we're going to do a second presentation just to show you from a standpoint of what it's going to be to try and help us to start addressing these problems. For infrastructure care, we are saying, and I want to bring to the attention of this committee, we are saying we look at the infrastructure investment in this country. South Africa has the infrastructure, we have what I call a health system of about 380 billion. We need a total health system. 30% of that is infrastructure that needs to be fixed. If that not infrastructure, if it's not fixed, it means we will start to replace those assets as well. So meaning there must be a plan to fix those infrastructure problems. The second step, 5% of that has a team. It's supposed to be preventive and maintenance costs. Meaning out of the 350, 30% people don't have to rebuild the country. 5% is investment that must be to routine to ensure that we prevent infrastructure from collapsing. And we have tried to match that with the outcome of the work. And so what we are saying to the community is that for the infrastructure funds that are allocated, from now onwards, we must fix this stuff that is identified in the facility. Meaning, every province is going to have to give us a plan about every single facility that is identified in the infrastructure problem and show us how these problems are going to be fixed. This is the first thing. The second is that for future, any infrastructure building must be informed by two principles. The first one must be assets. Meaning, because we already know where the facilities are, the next facility that will be erected, it must be informed by the fact that it's going to improve access or facility quality based on these measures that I have outlined, particularly the developmental members. From the infrastructure, we've also identified, we have a full report check that shows the problem with office-based tourism. Nurses do not have consulting groups. So we are saying the infrastructure money must be used in those facilities to create working space as well as consulting groups. So we have that information. So from now on, the infrastructure money must be allocated as such. So for management chair, we also looked at whether there was a CEO. We looked at whether there were senior committee, hospital boards, are they functional. We looked at financial management, HR management, and so on. For HR care, we looked at emergency services, outpatient, maternity wards, whether they were functional or not. We looked at support services. Now, I want to call the issue regarding support services. When we looked at support services, we also looked at whether the patients were in or out. And I would like to say that actually, for the clinical, both inside and outside, we have quality problems. From a safety point of view, where, for instance, if I use security as an example, we have an instance where security sensors were output, and in terms of the six core quality models, we did not provide the past security in the facility. The instances where the security was input, and equally we have those problems. So the question is, we have to look at what is the correctness of the physical services. For cleaning, I think it was the same. Food services, laundry, maintenance, gardening, archiving, and record keeping, waste management, transport services. So we look at all of these and we have a report here. So here what we have, and we'll just give you a glimpse of it, because the dust has got 2,800 babies. But because it's a system that we have been, because who would like to be? Is that, if we have a flow over cycle, we must be able to access the data. It's from a web-based perspective, so that if you go and you conduct your oversight function, you must be able to say, this is how this is going to work. You must be able to see that. So we have that, we show you how it's going to work. Yeah, in terms of the functional area, then, this is what we can say, it differs from facility to facility, support services, support management, and team facilities. Again, we can show you also where the proportion of support services were off-site or on-site. In some of the facilities, the facility was 100% in other ones. So we were not showing some of the examples. But what I wanted to highlight is that this is not just more resistant. I see this. The majority are ahead of us. We don't have our own in-house IT capacity. And it's a key content. And I just want to give you an example. When we started the project of the system and the project, the majority of them were but what is the difference in the IT space? And these are the ones that we have used in the country in the country. The and the so it's not because they're not good. The equal opportunity in the country to change Android, what is the IT space, those are the timing, and change them to some of the things that in the country. So for the condition of service, we also need the outlet to go to the next condition. Where I show you staff relative to dependency, so that you can see what the people are. So here I want to go to the next area that we look at. We look at bulk services. Now the bulk supply the services that are provided. These are water, access to water for, now I'm not talking about the community, but a community. Water, electricity, domestic waste removal, medical waste removal, hazardous waste removal, and nature. You can see that for the extreme, we did have facilities that did not have business. Or if they had, they were not having. In some of our community health centers, and a few of our so we also have problems services back to infrastructure the problem and again how can we get in a come out there followed by the other problems we can show you the measures in detail. Then for the ranging of internet we can show you where the problem is. So what we did here, we then took our district health information system to look at what the integration of these calls are relative to the information that we have. Then I said, when you look at data data, is it, you know, are there risks and what are they? We wanted to also look at the basis of providing support to problems so that they can respond. And we set up what we call facility improvement teams that can go and start with the rig and we have to share that we can share. Like I said, we have this is where things we can actually and we can give us a we can come and run like a workshop with you so that you can access the data. When you go to a particular facility, you can see what the difference of sharing facilities is. So for the way we talk, went down to explain the story about ability to connect, sentiment, improvement, or capability, and so on. We did also, we can start to do some structure but what the team has won. Where for conditions of the wall, the electrical conditions, what the standing conditions say, and so on. So this is just the details, just to give you what the code was, meaning we gave the activity, but here we show the details of the code. So, here what is the thing is that when you said that we cannot stop, we all can stop. We said, okay, let's start helping on a kind of basis, we see 10 diseases. And these are not exactly any kind of diseases, but because this is, we just start looking at 13 things can be. And some of the children have been said, did not need any injection of the process.
Mm.
For instance, where a kidney was almost falling, we just need the food that has been supported. I mean, some of the things that they didn't have to be funded. So we had senior managers from the National Department of Health, Commissioner Department of Health and Education. Meaning, it was a process that has largely grown by vision. And maybe...
What's happening, ma'am? Oh, I thought that's the information from the presentation.
The objective was to see how we can improve the engineering, the banking, all the studies, and also start discussing the public, the entire public to respond, but also build a culture of sustained quality in our system. And the topic is also the foundation, therefore, for any child. So we wanted also to start generalizing exercise, human resources, for clinical care, for financial management, so that when the Office of Health Standards Compliance Inspector starts the inspection, then the facility is not available. Chair, what is happening in this office, the inspector, because the unit inspector has been appointed, they've already started inspecting. And you see, in some facilities, they are in treatment, in others, the culture is looking much. So the facility is so some regional dialogue or any child visits other zones. For instance, Malawi and Zimbabwe as well as Zimbabwe are not the country and the country. So we just do them randomly at the same time. And I'll use this as an example. We have to form every one of those things in which we check. They didn't have a chance. Now, remember what the vital measure is about security. We said to them, tell us why you can't have a tent, and then you put a tent there after. This daily evidence is not in a place, and Adam is thinking into a day. He said, why don't you get a property for this patient? Say, what a day. I mean, these are things that I said did not cost any. They don't have to spend money at all. Because that's the empty thing as well. Then they are doing them, and they are using them. In the pharmacy, they can find the medicine. As you can see, it's a priority to just go back, label, and check your medicine properly. Because it contributes to the food. It exists in the medicine. Now, this one is about the waiting time. You said, tell us the waiting time for the patient. We reported them, and as they were improving them, they were reporting them on the right hand side. So we told them every time they were improving, we have the process. The approach we should change. We said we are not going to come to two issues and solutions. The people in the facility have solutions. They just need to tell us why these things are missing. And it worked out that they were fixing these things themselves. We didn't have to bring consultants, they were fixing these problems themselves. So even in Paris, the facilities are now well maintained, they're shelving. They've improved the shelving. The waiting time, we just had to organize the food. Patient process, waiting time, waste management has improved. Now, they didn't have a waste disposal facility. They got some waste built for them. They now have a waste disposal facility. They have now a patient complaint process. So we just asked them, can you think of yourself, what are those things? And the list was on. This one was a water tank that was installed at the foundation clinic. And even the flooring, they increased the flooring. Now, three things have been checked. They were still adjusted. And we have the question, why are we not checking it? I think we also need a contact to them. And our request also, when we do this project, was to show them. We must engage users of citizens. Because these are the citizens, but the ones that will tell us, people are improving. And in 50, they were working with municipalities, they were working with the communities and the government to improve services.
If they have to be fed, it is the only reference
which is a mutual friend. Or they will have to be respected to the and the person who has fire in the community. So this people here, if they travel, if they are transferred to this person, it will take more than 111 kilometers. And for this here, the community has sent out the same time, it's 98 kilometers. Okay? So what we can do here, I can zoom in this image and get what service is provided. So essentially what is currently serving for the services here, the on-site or services. So the question is how do we improve here? Now what the minister suggested with regard to the specialist team is that specialist teams must move to this facility and make sure that the facilities are good. But the minister was saying with regard to the what this primary has been is that they must focus out on and pick up what the problem is because the problem before the problem comes from here. Here, with regard to the head is the criminal services. For every school that is teacher 1 and 2, you must be able to provide because those are power schools and the children in those schools are likely to have more problems. You must bring services to those with regard to the mobile unit. So here, what we did, we then went to the school office to have the profile of every single school, teacher 1 and 2 schools. So for each school, we have a desk to what the information is for them and what the teacher is. The significance of that is that the child has to go back to the service that must be provided in their community when we release them, because there are schools that are closer to them. And you are suggesting for those children in those schools, they must be able to ask the children to see the problem. But for those who can't, then you should be able to use the mobile device. So here we can go on and on. And that's one of the things. So you can actually do the office without the service aspect. But we are also saying, because there is oversight, we need to do so that every father, I mean, we also check as to whether it is where services are going to be taken. So we have suggested also that the very much commissioner, we are going to take some of the information, bring it to the allocation, particularly the infrastructure and allocation, whether we can support it to the services.
Thank you very much, Gigi, for the detailed presentation, which has assisted us to answer some of the questions and problems that we face when we fix this facility and the challenges that we pick up when we take rounds in hospitals. And more especially after this visit that we have just taken in Mpumalanga. We visited many health facilities. One of them is the hospital in Elukwatin, where the hospital, that you know, the area is a NHI pilot project. And that hospital, Mbuleni, the hospital is a huge facility. It's well, it's used well by the community and the health officials. But the hospital is the walls are peeling off. The floors are, there are potholes on the floor inside the hospital, which poses a danger to the nurses, to the patients, to everybody else. And I'm sure also the infection control problems are also able to creep in such conditions. And also, I'm sure members will remember some of the things that we picked up where I wasn't able to visit. And at one stage, we went through this program to Limpopo, where we identify a facility, a beautiful, up-to-standard facility, standing empty in a deserted place, nobody goes there. Your members will remember that facility. How do you address such problems? How do you reverse the situation as a department so that we don't just throw money on facilities that are not used? And also here, we will give you this paper. If you can please investigate this, we won't be able to deal with this one. Because you know that communities, institutions, everybody, they write to us. at Parliament to try to intervene in some situations or provide answers. If you can investigate, this one is from section TAC 1727 institution. You know that institution. If you can please investigate this facility that was located in Palm, then the department decided to take it out of Palm where it's not acceptable to people. That will ask us a lot. Let me take this opportunity to allow members to make comments, questions, and everything else. Let's start with Honorable Papa de Villiers, Honorable Ranto, Honorable Magnana, Honorable Eastensi, yes, Honorable Beer. Maybe I should start with you because you are leaving very soon. Yeah, let me, sorry, Honorable, let me start from our Honorable Member down there from KZN. You'll be the last one.
Thank you, Chairperson, for being considerate to us. And I want to thank the DG for this presentation. I think it is very, very intensive, Chair, what the DG has you know, presented to us today. And I think it gives us a very good insight as to where we stand in terms of healthcare. Chair, I just have a few issues from the KZN perspective. Chairperson, our province, as members will know, is a largely rural population. And the terrain of KZN is really undulating and very, very difficult to traverse in the best of days. Now, if you were to look at, as you showed on one slide, the traveling distances, you might say 100 kilometers, but in Gauteng you can cover 100 kilometers within a certain period of time. But in KZN, really, it will take you 3 times that amount of time. So in terms of the provision of healthcare, you know, facilities, we need to see how we can get closer to the people. So my other concern is with regard to waste management, medical waste management. In many instances, and I think one of the slides showed it there, where medical waste was being dumped just outside, you know, the facility itself. And in KZN, we have some instances where medical waste is just being dumped along the roadside. And this can be hazardous not only for the patients, but also for road users, you know, the general public. The other slide, they showed security being at 100%. DG, I don't know how accurate that figure is, because, you know, recently we had an instance in KZN where somebody walked into an office and shot an official. You know, we had cases where people were, you know, raped in an hospital facility. So we need to see just how sure we are about 100% security. You might have warm bodies there wearing a uniform, but are they really effective in terms of providing the security that they're supposed to be providing? Chair, my other issue is with regard to the quintile 1 and 2 schools. And I'm glad the DG has touched on that you are now, you know, taking services, even if it means mobile services to these schools. But DG, keep in mind also that we have quintile 3, 4 and 5 schools. They're catering for people that live in informal settlements, people that come from low-cost housing projects that have come up around the built areas where you have quintile 4 and 5 schools, but the poorest of the poor are attending those schools, and they don't have access to health care. So we need to keep that at the back of our mind in terms of our long-term planning. And Chair, if I may just ask if the slide number 8, if we can get a breakdown per province. Slide number 8 gave a broad overview. But it will be more benefit to us if we can get it per province so that we as KZN can identify and be able to interact with those facilities, DG. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Yes,
MK.
Oh, where's the room? I had the Chairperson. Okay.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, DG, for your informative presentation. It has done a lot regarding the complaints that we are having. I think now we are in a way, there's a lot that is going to be, there's a lot of improvements we will be seeing, depending on the type of the public servant we are having. Because your presentation is talking more of the level of accountability in our public servants, then if our strategy is still going to talk, how do we capacitate some of them? It's not a matter of capacitating them. It's just I don't know what has happened to them. Because with the slides that you have shown there, where it's just a matter of using the finances that are there, using your innovative and creative skill in order to make sure that you are making this hospital a place for the lives of our people. Then when it comes to the use of the school health services, in order to make sure that problems that are being identified in schools, matching the school services with our with education, assisting the kids in schools. I think that approach is of vital, but I know the problem there. It is about staffing our school health services. You would have a school health team with a staff nurse, and at times using the HIV and AIDS counselors as part of that team, of which their standards are not the same. When it comes to what's expected of a staff nurse, based that all those problems are because by the shortage of staff in order to come up with the school health services. I think, no, with this approach, at the end, as much as we are being so rich as the Department of Health, we will reach there. Thank you so much.
Okay. Oh, you can only get the fact of writing what is in the number 18. No, let's allow them to finish on that side, then they will come to you. Sort of. Okay.
There was a project in Gimpo about the urgent renovation of some mental hospital. Now, recently, we had a meeting with them about when we wanted to know how far they've gone and so on. They were telling us that the money for the renovation was actually had to be diverted to the construction of Silo Hospital, which is a residential project. So, I don't know whether does this mean if a project is termed a presidential project, then everything else must stop and money diverted to it, or does National make money available for that presidential project? So that's just my question. Thanks.
Thank you, Chair. Mine is on the safety. There's something that we have discovered as we do oversight around the intercom. I'm not sure if it is fitted somewhere within your investigation. Most health facilities do not have that, and you ask yourself, what if there's fire or something that's happening? And they're also one of those resources that you really forcing hospitals to have. The other thing is the when the patients have got to have their own say, and in assessing, for instance, I saw somewhere where patients write about how they're treated and everything. There is this thing that you always find in these health institutions called the suggestion box. It's a very good idea, but what happens after the people have put their suggestions in that box? In one clinic, there was a suggestion box, but the thing is, my opinion, I think the clinic committees are responsible to open it to with the presence of the professional nurse and the secretary, who is also a professional nurse. That doesn't happen. Usually what happens, you find that only the professional nurses open it, and then they will shift whatever fits them, and the others, they won't even write in the books because they are unable to do that. How are we going to keep that? How are we going to make sure that it's owned by the whole clinic committee and then everything is recorded? The walking distances, I think I've been covered by the first speaker there. He talked actually about the time it would take in a rural area to reach a particular place. Even though it's 2 kilometers away, we would have to go via areas going far. And I'm not sure, because now what is going to happen in those areas where they are more than 5 kilometers. You said 2 kilometers there must be a facility. Where there aren't any close to 5 kilometers, are we going to have new establishments? Can we have our people hoping that due to this, because of this distances, you are going to have a facility or what? Thank you, Chief.
Thanks, Chairperson. Chairperson, I just wanted to add on what you have said with the Taking Parliament to People program that we have recently. We also went to one clinic in town at Carolina, the Carolina clinic that is in town, which is built of asbestos, and it's a dilapidating building. They said they got that building in 2011 through the municipality. That's the building that they use, and they intend to actually do away with that clinic. It's one of the clinics that they are going to destroy. But we suggested to them not to leave the area, because as much as they asked the municipality to give them that clinic, it means there was a need for that clinic. If they are taking that clinic away, it means that the people around there are not going to get services. But according to your baseline health audit, you can help us by checking, is it really necessary for that community to have that thing? There is a hospital nearby, and there is a Silobela clinic that is about 2 kilometers from that area. But I think the more we have the facilities closer to the people, the better for us to work efficiently. And also, Chairperson, this presentation, I applaud the presentation that we are given by the National Department, which is one of the departments that are working for the people and are working for better health service delivery to our people. I applaud that this presentation is national. It doesn't speak to the specific provinces. And we, in the National Council of Provinces, we represent the provinces here. And we would like to know what is happening in each province. For example, the slide that you have here, as the honorable member from KZN has said, the slide you have here, if I can have a slide like this for Eastern Cape, I would be able to identify the facilities that you speak about. And also the slide of compliance score for vital measures. I see I only see few hospitals that have complied. We would also like to know those hospitals that are not complying. You see, that is why I say it would be much better if it was a provincial presentation, not a national presentation.
Okay, thank you very much. Honorable Farah?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm prepared to wait as long as I can. I don't have a problem with that.
I'm sorry, Honorable Farah.
No, it's not a problem at all, man. We'll all get our chance. We'll all leave here together, so it's okay. Yes, Madam Chair, I would just like to say that I see that DG used a lot of the Northern Cape on her presentation, but I'm also actually surprised that it's only the good stories. And as I am representing the Northern Cape, in my constituency, I don't even want to talk about the Barclay West brand new hospital that's built, that's in shambles. If I look at the outside, we were looking at garden services, it looked like a piece of felt. And I was there for the opening of that hospital. It was state of the art. The computer system, for instance, are not working. It's outsourced. Now, how can a hospital function without a computer system? Other thing in Barclay West, I'm just quickly going to run through you, DG, please, if you don't mind, through Honourable Chair. If they need to operate, we were talking about all the equipment. It's now been centralized to Kimberley. So every time they need to do anything, they have to order from the Kimberley stores and apparently it's been centralized. It's not being done in Barclay West again. So this is what the staff are reporting back to me on my oversight when I do my constituency time. They've actually just recently had a doctor because they used one that comes from Kimberley to this beautiful hospital that's driving up and down because they don't have a doctor. Now they've got one at least. I am a bit worried about this data collection tool because, you know, it doesn't help that you've got a system and it's not being implemented. Now, this is the problem to me. You've got this beautiful system that you're talking about, but it's definitely not working at all the hospitals. So I think all the colleagues from different political parties will agree with me that this is the main thing. If you've got a system, you have to implement it. Otherwise, it's of no use at all. Now it's nice to see that you've got some of these Northern Cape institutions that you showed me, but I can assure you that I want to go almost as far as saying at least 40% that I know of is definitely not operating on this system, because I would have picked that up. And when I do my oversight, then it's not there. I can assure you of that. Then the last thing that I was going to say... Okay, yes, it was just the before and after pictures were beautiful that you showed us, but the reality on the ground, unfortunately, in my constituency, which is the Francis Baard, Hartswater, Warrenton, Jan Kemp area, Barkley, definitely doesn't look like that. So I just want us to understand that we shouldn't just give the good pictures. We must also take a step backwards and look at our not successful situations, and we must work on that, because... we've seen this beautiful system and it's definitely not implemented. I want to know, how are you as the department going to see to it that this actually works at all your institutions? Because you cannot collect data, and I'm looking at percentages that look beautiful here, or not even that beautiful, but we see percentages, but you cannot work that out if you don't have correct data from all these institutions. Thank you, Manjit.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. My first question is in connection with the competition of, on the first page of my document, the second slide. The composition of the governance, the National Steering Committee, the Provincial Steering Committee, and also the district participation. Can you just give us more information in connection with that? Then, Honourable Chairperson, again, in taking Parliament to the people, we visited the Carolina Hospital. And that hospital is actually sending their laundry to another hospital. Mm. Now, can you just tell us, in connection with that, of your audit, is that what that also included? And my question also relates to other hospitals who do have the same problems. And then, Honourable Chairperson, in connection with the shift, I visited a hospital in Western Cape, and during the visit of families to the patient, then the nurses came to that ward during that time and actually asked the people there to excuse them a little bit because they are busy with the shifting of shifts. Handing over of. And in that connection, is that also included in your audit, so that that situation happens at certain hospitals that must be actually phased out, because that is actually disturbance to the people who are sitting their families. Then, Honourable Chairperson, I'm actually very worried about the Western Cape Clinic in Cape Town. They're saying to you that they, if my understanding is correct, they did not allow you to do the order there. Now, from my side, it's actually a problem, because our national health must have that info from the national department on the different clinics in the Western Cape, also in the city. Can you give the committee that information, more direct information, so that I can, as representative of the Western Cape, follow it up with the minister in the province, what actually happened there? And also, I think what we must have is the situation, if we can get that information in connection with the provinces, then I can usually zone into that information, and then through the committee in the Western Cape legislature, I can pick that certainly up, because my function is an oversight function, and I must do that. So a little bit more information in connection with the provinces. And then my other question is, did you supply the information, what you find in the Western Cape, to the Minister of Health in the Western Cape? And what was their response on your audit? What will they do to remedy certain problems, so that they can uplift the quality of those clinics in the Western Cape? because it's the quality in the Northern Cape is 80%, certainly in the Western Cape it is also 80%, and in the Northern Cape certainly it must be also 80%. That is my understanding, because we are actually, we owe it to the community out there. Honorable Chairperson, I think in the different district hospitals, and that is the situation in the Western Cape, they are not always on par. So that some district hospitals differs from the other. And that information we must also get from you as the National Department, so that we as constituency head, I'm a constituency head in the Central Karoo, that includes the hospital or the health sector in Leeuwham, Kaapstad, Kastroom, Leesburg, and so on. A rural area. Not so deep rural like in KwaZulu-Natal, but it is a rural area. So that information. Why I'm saying that? Because we as members of the National Council of Provinces, we went right through the rural area in KwaZulu-Natal. And from my experience there, that's the reason why I'm saying it's not so deep rural. Yes, yes. Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me just start where Honorable Civilius has ended. Around the issue of the Western Cape, I don't think that Western Cape is an island here or is a republic within a republic. What happens to other provinces must also apply to Western Cape, because we are aware of, you know, very disturbing reports, situation of hospitals in the Western Cape. It's not like Western Cape is whole, everything is okay. I think that's something that we really have to take note of. The other thing that I want maybe to applaud is just to indicate that the presentation here at least gives us a light. If you do something, you have to start somewhere. And this is the reality that the department is changing. We are not supernatural that over 5 years we could have dealt with everything in South Africa. I think this is a start. Also, we've got areas that up to now have not been visited, but we understand that this is a process, it's not an event. Chairperson, I think to join other members around the issue of the safety at hospital, one is more interested, can we unpack what do we really mean about security? Maybe if I have to give example of the hospitals that one went to, when you talk about security, you only refer to people who are standing at the gate, who will look at the boot. When you come and open the boot, they look at that. What happens inside the facilities? I think these are some of the issues that we really have to check. The other thing is that quality. You know, like when you talk maybe of medication, in a situation where wrong prescriptions will be given to patients, where does that fall? How do we classify that? I think Honorable Villas has also talked to the issue of the laundry, because it's very common. And the issue of referrals, although I'm saying at least there's a light, I'm very positive that at least we are going somewhere. But if you check smaller towns, maybe it's because I'm from a small town, I'm not from this big town. If you know Swaziland is a small town full of farms and all that, is where I come from. That we've got facilities, we've got hospitals, but the referral, the distance there, you know, it doesn't talk. So, and also taking into consideration that if you check the profile of the area, most of people there are domestic workers. You know, you find people who are in close to 500 rand per month. This is a reality from where I come from. Lastly is the issue where there is unfair treatment. How do you reach to this small area, small towns, which are surrounded by farms? Where, like for example, in Swaziland, I have to be specific. When you go to the surgery, there's a session for whites and blacks. Because this thing was exposed in the media, they're very diplomatic now. You go there, they will check, do you have a medical aid? if you are private, then you will be considered at last, you know. They will give preference to you because you are having medical. How do you ensure that we shouldn't only focus on rural areas, but accept that the reality that these areas we are surrounded with farmers, you know, farm workers and all that. And this is a reality to where things are happening. Because people, my experience is that people take advantage that I'm staying in a small town, which is dominated by farms. These farmers know their attitude. And I know that it will be very difficult to see somebody from provincial department to come and visit and to know exactly what is happening. So everything is easy for them to happen because they'll know that you'll visit them maybe after 10 days. How do we ensure that even the smaller towns we visit? Because I was more interested that when you talk about villages and say that at least we visited the small town where we know that predominantly the services there are offered to farm workers. Thanks.
Right. Okay, DG, just one last issue here. But if you can elaborate on the new system on how to queue people or to make the queues move faster. Because I know in most provinces they were using people called queue marshals. Yes, what happened to that? Yes. And And also the... Every time we visit hospitals where there's a problem of a glow that is not on, which is off, a door that is falling, a window that is broken, you always be told in hospital, in the health facilities, that public work this, public work that, and all that. How, in this auditor, how do you see yourself addressing this problem specifically? Yes. Okay.
What Honorable Mahade has just said on small town. I am also from a small town, Jasonville, in Eastern Cape, in the Kakadu area. Yeah, it's a farm city for real farm. You know, Chair, some of the things that happen in front of us are so gruesome, and you don't want to, sometimes you don't want to go back to that facility to go and have e-health services there. During December time, we usually still eat the goats and the sheep from the farmer, ne? In fact, we take it from our forefathers. And then when a person who's...
I withdraw it then.
And the in a hospital, when you arrive there and it's time for the nurses, the adults should, it's time for them to leave, to take off, to change shift. They will stick on what they are in on their paperwork. And even if there is somebody who is crucially ill or who is in an accident, arrives, for as long as he does not arrive in an ambulance, he's brought by a private person, that person is not given any attention. I don't know how are you going to work with the attitude of your senior staff nurses, your ordinary nurses, because we were attended by a security person. I know that the minister once said everybody who's working in the hospital must have a know-how on how to help to make an emergency help if there is any need. But to leave it to the head of a security person is something else for that person to do that. And when they heard that I'm a member of parliament, everybody was up. The security system was just a mess. They've done more mess than what was happening when the security person was attending. I'm worried about the attitude of our people that are working in these facilities. And I don't know how are you going to check that and how are you going to be able to rectify the mistakes that they are doing during their time of work. Thanks, Chair.
Okay. Over to you.
Thank you, Chair. Can I start by saying that to honorable members from Northern Cape, the presentation was about Pixley, not the whole of Northern Cape. I want you to be very clear about that. Pixley Kasema is not the whole of Northern Cape. In fact, if I were to share about Northern Cape, it's worse than what you've seen. It is in that province where we saw nurses carrying water from the water tank for safety in the facility. So we have that. I think what you need to note here, honorable members, is that we are saying these are the problems. Now, you can't throw resources at a problem, which has been the case. And I'm trying to also say that it's also your role as a parliamentary committee to exercise the oversight role, but with tools and information. These tools are not, it's not information and data collection. It's actually tools to help you with your oversight role. That information that we're sharing with you is information that each and every one of you must have. It is information about every single facility. It's information about everything that happens in every single facility. So it's not a data correction tool. I wanted to correct it. I think the question, and I put that slide again. If you see those lines, those are what you call SIDA diagrams. They show you the referral system, where the clinics are, and so on. And those circles show you how long people have to travel. Okay? But it also shows you that you've got that blue area that does not have a circle. And the spiders extend further to those areas. Essentially, what it tells you that those people in those facilities, because clinics, their services may be limited. Now, what you will see for every small facility, you know exactly what services are rendered. Now, this is the information that you say it should be accessible to you. We will show you for every small area what the services are, and if people can't get services in those facilities, where next must they go to? But what we've done in addition to that, we have actually also loaded data about the GPs, because sometimes people go to GPs. If they've been treated badly in a facility, they go and see a private doctor and they pay out of pocket. And we are saying we'll show you exactly where every single doctor is in this country. Because we want to know whether, in terms of access, because these are principles of inequity. And you are saying, in this country, when you have a medical aid, you can actually choose to go to a GP if it's next door. If we don't, then you have to walk kilometers. So in terms of what the minister is saying, and the contract model that you are trying, is that even if you don't have a medical aid, if it takes you longer to walk to facilities, and a GP is close, you must be able to access that GP. But we must ensure that the model of contracting is a good one, because you also don't want, again, to throw resources at the problem. So, Chair, I want to respond to the questions as they were asked. To KZN, yes, I agree, KZN is rural. You see those doctors with stethoscopes. We've actually gone, and we can tell you exactly, it's a general medical practitioner. We tell you where they are, the name of the GP, his email, the street address. We've gone to collect that information, because we want to say, even when we contrast with GPs, because we've gone back, provinces contract these doctors already. It's happening. But we've gone back to say, these contracts, how are they? And are they properly managed? Now, what you saw in George Masebe, Madam Chair, some of the doctors are on session. And you are saying the contracts are not properly managed. So you need to have a good contracting model, even when you engage these GPs. So we have now knowledge. We know where they are. When we start the contracting, we look at access, but we'll also say that is it going to improve services or not. So in KZN, Chair will do the same. Now what we did in KZN, and I'll use Zululand as an example. In Zululand, one facility was actually in a valley. So every time it rained, people soaked wet. So we said, okay, the next time for this facility, we need to have a park home, at least in a safer environment, where people don't have to get wet when it rains. So we've gone to those, and we can share that information with you. What I was saying is that for every facility, Madam Chair, and for every district, we have this information. It's available to you. You can access it. But what the difference here is that for planning purposes, this time around, when we erect infrastructure, let's say in Eastern Cape, we must know that it's going to improve access. That must be the principle. But secondly, where we pick up quality problems, where allocations are made, it must be because we are going to fix those problems. So we are trying to use those two conditions as a basis of allocation, and I think it's an important principle. Chair, when we looked at, and I want to use again Northern Cape as an example, in some of the facilities, they did not have waste management services. They actually dug a hole in the facility to bury the rubbish, because facilities, so we have for every facility information about the status of waste management services, whether they get the services and how regular they get the services. We have information about medical waste, because we have ordinary waste management but also medical waste, and we differentiate between the two. We also have information about water supply. This is why in Northern Cape in particular, in this facility, we ask the question, but the natives go to the community to fetch water. But why is it so? They said they had the best time. And we asked them the question, what did you do about it? They wrote a letter to the district. And we asked them, for how long have you had this problem? For 3 years. Now for 3 years, someone wrote a letter and sat there and waited. Now this is what I was saying earlier, that this is a culture problem that you have to deal with. And the culture that I'm talking about is about our problem solving skills. There's nothing that stops people from fixing their problem. Even some of the problems were basic. In another district, City Bank, Mena spoke about laundry. In City Bank, we asked, because in one facility, there was no laundry. And I've had a personal experience myself, because I didn't tell them that I had an uncle in a facility. No sheets on the bed and no pillowcases. Nothing. And no pyjamas. And we asked the question, but where is the laundry? They said, no, we've kept it. It's nicely kept. And we asked the question, but why is it not sent and used to facilities? They said, no. Because the laundry services have been centralized, the system is such that when they send laundry to the central area after it has been soiled and so on, they don't get it back. Or if they do get it back, it's torn or it's not there. So they've decided to keep it. So I'm just saying, some people are well-meaning. It's just that problem-solving skills. I mean, the reason we set up the team, it was mainly to say, let's jointly solve the problems. And I think this is the approach that we're taking. You can't start with the punitive measures when you've not understood what the problems are. So we started with saying, okay, you have the ability to solve these problems, solve them. And we said, is it a resource problem because that's what we wanted to understand? Or is it just a management problem? Yeah. In some instances, it's just totally management. And we say, let's deal with management. Either people need training, if not, then they should be replaced. I think it should be the approach we take. So that has been sort of the kind of approach. Now for the security chair, I must say that we probably need a much more detailed, not aggregated information for each province. Now, what we did when we looked at security information, we looked at the in-source and outsource services, like I was saying. Now, different provinces have in-source and outsource, the combination. Now, there are a couple of problems that we picked. For in-source services, the security was just as poor as outsource. And I'm saying, it wasn't a question of whether one option was better than the other. But we have the detailed information, and I agree with the member when you say your aggregated information, we probably need to give you a breakdown per province. We have it, we can give it to you like that, exact, and a breakdown per district, and a breakdown per facility, we can give it to you like that. For quintile 1 and 2 schools, Chair, the reason we started with those, we're not saying we're not going to do 3, 4 and 5. That's a phased approach. For the first phase, we do 1 and 2, and then we extend to 3 and 4. And then we'll cascade as we go along. We are going to do that. We're mindful of that. Slide 8 on access. One member asked about slide 8. That's the one about security that are a concern. Matching school services with education and shortage of staff. What we did, we were mindful of the shortage. So what we did, we decided to invite retired nurses to help us. So we've got a database of, I think, 400 of them. But now we've also received other retired nurses saying they would like to join. But now recently we are beginning to get reports. Now the same retired nurses that are supposed to help us with school health services, they are also used to fill in gaps. And we are saying it shouldn't be, because they were not appointed for this. Because some of them are very old and they don't want to be fully committed. They want to just do a limited scope of work. And we want to maintain that and to keep to our commitment. Honorable member from Limpopo, the project in Limpopo, I must say that you probably are right that we shouldn't. And I think we are not going to, like I said, we will not redirect resources for a mental hospital that needs to be addressed. The Siloam case, I think, is a presidential project. You are aware that there is a PICC, and as part of the PICC, they've already made a list of projects that are going to be prioritized. We are sitting with every single province to say resources must go to lead where access is a concern. And I just want to read, just as an example, you're probably aware that there was a Mankweng problem. And as part of that, Mankweng psychiatric services were an absolute concern. And we said a priority will be to fix the Mankweng psychiatric services so that these patients cannot be compromised. And I must say that the newly appointed CEO is addressing that problem. The Siloam, even if the funds could be allocated, they still have to go back and plan from scratch. I think it's one of those projects that I said to you, whether you fix it today or you postpone, at some stage you have to fix it. In fact, Siloam is one of those that must be rebuilt from scratch. Why? Because we neglected that facility for a long time. We've got a couple of those actually. So South African government in particular and Department of Health with the provinces, we have to decide how do you prioritize projects. And I was saying that you have an estate that is worth 320 billion. We know what the problems are. We have to fix them. We shouldn't postpone this. If we postpone that whole estate, we have to go back again and make huge investments to fix these things. I mean, I've got pictures, chairs, facility. Every facility has a picture. In one facility, the sewage system was not working. It was oozing. That. And we ask the question, how long has it been going on? 3 months. And it's a clinic. It's a facility. You can't have a situation like this. Now, we are saying, in terms of that, we have to fix that. But I will explain to you what is it that we are going to do to deal with this problem. Chair, the next question in Mpumalanga as regards to Intercom. I agree, Chair. We didn't look at that. Perhaps as we fix the problem, we have to look at Intercom systems. I think it's an important area. But I don't think we specifically addressed it. It's a consideration, and I would like to note that for follow-up. Mm-hmm. The suggestion boxes, I agree with you fully. In fact, if you look at the Office of Health Standard Compliance, the amendment bill members that I must thank you, you've approved. We are waiting for National Assembly to finalize the bill. Now that bill creates an ombud person. Now those suggestion boxes, actually, once we have that ombud person, that is the person who's going to ensure that those complaints are dealt with. It can't be at the discretion of a nurse or a doctor or anybody. So your ombud person must be the one dealing with those. So at least we have a solution. It's just that we have to ensure that implementation happens. Chair, the working distances. The reason we were showing the working distances is the reality to say our current infrastructure is such that our people have to walk those distances. But we are saying for planning purposes, we have infrastructure money. Mm-hmm. Every time provinces plan and say they want to erect new buildings, we say for that purpose, we don't want them to do their discretion, to just wake up and say, okay, we'll erect a building here. It must be informed. It must be informed by access. It must be done because it has to be, because it's going to improve access. I think that's the principle. The example that we're showing about the spider, we also looked at transport and roads. Now, it's quite clear that as we plan for our facilities and services, and we're mainly doing that to look at how long the ambulances take and what is the status of our roads. And if you look, Chair, can you just show the legend? If you look, we can show you that a road is a gravel road, like for instance, it means for that school. If we had a school, if we have a mobile, for instance, coming here, that mobile is going to have to use a gravel road, okay, from the facility to the school. So essentially it means that the maintenance of that mobile is going to be a problem. Now, I don't know whether when we're in Mpumalanga, you probably saw the equipment in the mobile. So it's going to cost, in terms of those equipment, we have to ensure that their lifespan and also the maintenance of the car is going to be a problem. So we also looked at the room to see what does it mean, so that as part of planning we can allocate resources for that purpose. And Chair, with regard to Eastern Cape, Carolina Clinic. You're saying with regard to an honorable member from Eastern Cape, with regard to the point you raised in Carolina Clinic and the problem. I think by now South Africa should not even have a single facility that has asbestos material because of asbestosis. I mean, from a safety point of view, those should have been done away with by now. But anyway, that's probably a separate discussion. But you're raising a very important principle to say, you know, that it means we must erect a facility every 2 kilometers. I think we need to look at the, we've done what we call polygons and T-Richard statistical modeling. And we looked at the traveling distances. Traveling for people who walk, traveling for cars and our transport. But we've also looked at, do you have the polygons? Now, when we did that, we did not confine ourselves to the boundaries, like you said, ourselves. Remember, we've got boundaries that are artificial boundaries, actually, because these are administrative. They're sub-districts and districts. Now, with regard to those, we recognize that you could have people in this district, but they may have, they may be closer, have access much closer. Like, for instance, the people here, these facilities are further away from them, but maybe facilities that are closer, that are at the boundary. Now we have that information. And we are saying, because this is a district within the same province, people must not be limited in terms of access. If this is closer, they must be able to access the facility. So we did for that purpose. But we also did it across the boundaries of provinces. Now, honorable member, the principle that you have addressed is how do we then cross-subsidize these cross-border movements? Because it's a concern, particularly for Gauteng, which has a lot of those patients who move from other provinces. So it's a matter that you have to address, but it's from a planning point of view, this is how we're dealing with. Honorable member from Northern Cape, I had already indicated, let me just explain. Now what we did, because we wanted to ensure that this is used, we have gone to every single head of department in the province. And for every head of department, we have provided training. We've provided training to planners and the information team. So we got about 123 people trained so far in the use of this information, because we want this to be the basis on which we plan. So what is the problem for us for now? In, I think, five out of nine, the HODs are acting. So it's a stability problem. It means when the acting one sees, we have to train again. But we'll keep on training, because we want this information to be used. For the Western Cape, for the composition of the steering committees, I'll ask Melanie to respond to that. And the laundry, I've already explained the example of one district. Chair, we probably need a model. I talk about hospitality services. If you take, let's say, a hospital has five components, and of those components, one is hospitality services. It's your laundry, catering, cleaning, security, and so on. Now, we must have a model of how those services are rendered across board and make sure that the provinces comply. The second is about administration. Equally, this is your IT, your administration, HR, finance, and so on. Equally, we must have a standard for all of them on how they are rendered. So we are proposing to provinces that, in terms of the norms and standards, every one of them must comply with the standards. But that compliance, initially it must be developmental, but move towards a punitive measure, because we can't just be lax about people's health, where quality is compromised. Chair, with regard to Western Cape and the concerns about the quality in the province, indeed, Western Cape is part of this country, and we'd like to ensure that compliance is across board. No province or no district should be excluded. We have had a presentation to the National Health Council where both HODs and the MECs are present. And we've discussed this, and like I said, the HODs have been trained and provided with information. And of course, it will always be those HODs who are available and who make their staff available for training, and we've done that, and we can share that information with you. Pardon? Yes, she will give you the details of who by name has been trained. Northwest, yes, Honourable Member, we agree that there's no province which is an island. Chair, I'm going to request that the team gives you, Honourable Members, information about security for every single facility, because we've got that. But we also did an additional assessment of security services in sufficient detail. So it's a security report. We're handling it in a sensitive manner. So we can share that information with you. We did a sample of facilities in different provinces, and we have a detailed report, even a costing of how much the provinces pay for, particularly for outsourced security services. With regard to quality, we've extended, you know, the patient safety services. We've actually set up a team that will look at patient safety and patient concerns, and we'll share with you some of the insights of what we did. We took a leaflet. It's like an information brochure. We started by saying to the patients, our promise to you. And then we went to test it. And the response we got was that the patients say they don't trust us. That was the response we got. They say they don't trust us. So we went back to say, how else can we bring confidence back into the services? And we changed, we said, our duty to you. And that is what is acceptable to the patient, to say our duty to you. But when we say our promises, it was not acceptable. So we started that campaign that will give people assurance and bring back confidence into the services. Honourable Member, the referrals for smaller towns, yes, it is a concern. Part of the reason we did those polygons and T's and the spiders, we wanted to look at the referrals. Do people have transport? In fact, it was quite interesting. When we look at equity problems and access, one common problem that we never talk about is the fact that people have to pay to access services. Either they have to pay a taxi or they have to pay for transport to access services. So the question is, how do we alleviate that burden from ordinary people who want to access services? It's an important principle, and I think from a planning point of view, we say you don't have to erect every facility everywhere. At least it must be within reach. Make the roads to be in proper working order, but also provide transport means by which people can access services. So we're going to be looking, because we've looked at the transport and the roads, we'll look at what will it mean for referrals and so on. Chair, I think this applies to low-income group. Like you were saying, when we did an exercise in Gauteng, for instance, in the Lanseria area, we have some informal settlements. We asked the people there as to how they access services. They actually go to the open and they pay 80 rands return transport to access services in Vetkoppen. So the question is, can't we just have a facility there where they don't have to be traveling and paying 800? But what was interesting is the profile of the community in the Thabo Mbeki informal settlement. The profile of those people is that one, they're unemployed, or they sell things for themselves, or they live on social security or pension and so on. So that's the profile. No, those are people who are likely not to have money actually for transport services. So who are saying we have two options. One, you make transport available, or you erect a facility closer to people. So those are the two options that we have. The two marshals, a chair. There are a number of activities actually with regard to the queues, and some are innovative ideas, which I think we embrace. Some are using queue marshals, which seem to work. Others, chairs, did not even have to do much. They just changed the way the patient flow has been organized. It brought about a huge improvement. In some facilities, the queue, particularly in the pharmacy area, was a concern. So they have also come up. So the queues were different for different areas, and they've come up with innovative ideas. And we're encouraging them, actually, to come up with innovative solutions. Chair, emergency services and the attitude of people. You know, attitude is a behavioral issue. But it's also a culture issue, like I was saying earlier, that, you know, we have a culture of people who don't fix things, who don't, for instance, some of, I wish I could show you some of the examples. I mean, they are fascinating. Showers in our clinics are used as storage places. They stack things in showers. So essentially what it means is that our patients can't use showers to wash. So the question is, how do we change that? Because we said we're not going to, we asked the question, but why is the shower not used? So they started removing things. So it must be a culture, they must never ever use the shower for storage again. So it's sort of the changing behavior of people that we need. And this is what we want to suggest. So Chair, at the moment, as an overall response, because it's almost 3,800 facilities is a lot. There are good facilities that are functioning very well that are clean. There are facilities that are not doing so well, and there are others that are, what I would say, the good, the bad, the ugly, that are not good at all. So we are taking the model. This is why I say we do have innovative ideas. Some are just left out. In Limpopo, for instance, they had a very good concept of engaging the FET colleges. What they do, they come up with a contract with the FET to make, meaning you use the health facilities as a training ground for the students, like maybe in your final year. So we are exploring that model to see whether we can, as a quicker way to fix our facilities, we use the FET colleges for fixing these problems and for maintenance. Now, if you deal with the 5%, that I referred to in terms of the total estate, total health estate. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Just last question.
Honorable Chair, I just want to report this, the experience that we were exposed to at Silobela Guinea. We did not do an unannounced visit. The institution was told that we would be there as members of parliament or public rest for taking parliament to the people. When we arrived there, just immediately after entering the premise, there were four security guards which were searching us, the bags and everything. And it was on us that was said. And when we arrived there, the person, the matron, whoever is in charge of that hospital, ran away from us. We were received by a district and a provincial person who were telling us about the clinic. So that's reporting the attitude that we are exposed to. Thanks.
Quickly.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, I just want to just say something correct with the DG. I think perhaps she's misunderstanding me. I don't have a problem that there are things right or wrong.
To allow you in the
thank you, Madam, but while I'm busy. The thing is, DG, I don't have a problem where there's things going wrong. I understand that it will always happen everywhere. But the issue for me is on the schools that we're talking about that you are using. And I need to know, as a representative of the community, to know if those data that we do have, that we get, is correct. As I believe some of these institutions don't have the means and ways to actually get the data to you. So I would like to go and serve my community to see that this and this is wrong, and where I can help them. So I don't have a problem with that. The issue to me is that the data that you get is correct or not. How many ambulances are there in Warrington when a child dies because there's 8 hours delay? All these type of things. What I want to know is, it's nice if we have a system, but is it? This is the question I'm just asking. Is it implemented every health institution that we have? If not, are we going to be able to do that? Because I think the data is necessary. So I don't say that, yes, this and this and this is wrong. We're going to find it everywhere because there's rights as well. The issue is, as I said, is there data from every institution and how correct it is? Thank you so much.
I'm not allowing any more questions. What is it?
Chairperson, I just want to indicate that maybe Honorable de Villiers didn't even indicate that Carolina Hospital is where we visited. At least it's 50 years, but you can see that, you know, they're in charge. I think that's a positive.
But there's still a part of responses that has not been given yet. Honorable de Villiers, you are the last person. I'm not allowing any more questions. Ask your questions.
No, I don't have questions. I'm waiting on the answer.
Oh, okay. So, come in. You're on the floor. Oh, they have not been responded.
Yes, Honorable Member. Melan Volnarans will respond to those questions. I had said that in my presentation. Mm-hmm. And Chair, can I also clarify, this is audit, we're auditing facilities. Mm-hmm. It's not standard health information. Mm-hmm. Standard health information is a process, mm-hmm. and it needs investment. And remember, this country has already spent $4 billion on health information system over a number of years, mm-hmm. and we still don't have that information. We have in pockets, in some areas. This one is audit information. We counted, that's why, Chair, when I started, I said when we started in the beginning, we said we had 4,333 facilities.
Mm-hmm.
And we went from one facility to the other. And now we can say confidently, mm-hmm. we've got 3,880.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that we said here, we can show you, we can point, and we can account for.
Thank you. The governance structures, there were a sort of national project steering committee that met on bi-monthly, and it consisted out of the Deputy Director General that was assigned by the Director General to oversee the project, and then key members from the National Department of Health, it was Dr. Jürgen Philipp, and then key members from different sessions in the National Department of Health, infrastructure planning, primary health care, quality assurance, and HR, and then also members from the consortium. At the national level, it was mainly tasked with project management to ensure that the project is managed and governed according to the project proposal. At the provincial level, there was a steering committee, and each province had a focal member, an order focal point member appointed, who was the liaison between the national steering committee and the province. And then each province had a provincial steering committee, and the provincial steering committee consisted out of the provincial focus point person, manager from quality assurance, the manager from facilities planning and infrastructure management, from HR, from information management, then a representative manager from hospital services, and a representative manager from primary health care. They had four key focus areas that they focused on as a steering committee. First of all was to support the focal person in terms of the coordination of the audit within the province. Also to make sure that there is skills transfer between the process of auditing and the staff that in the facilities, so that they also on a regular basis can assess themselves in terms of certain standards, because we don't only want to assess, we also want to see an improvement, as DJ has said. They also ensure that the database that was developed is maintained, and that the data, as it comes in from the audit, there's sort of a quality check to ensure the data are correctly captured and that the information Because the audit was conducted, they would audit the facility and feedback would be provided to that facility immediately. It's not that feedback was only provided at the end of the audit, so that the process improved would start immediately. So that was in short the governance structure. In terms of the information system, just to say that it is massive. We have millions and millions of data entries, and just to look at 3,880 facilities, and we can create a spreadsheet with columns of 270 columns. That's just then the tip of the iceberg. So we just showed a snapshot of what information is available, and we created numerous different reporting tools to be able that the data tells you a story. Otherwise, you just have the data entry and it doesn't give you any story to be able to act on. Now there is a web-based support system to which the head of department of all heads of department is registered. They have a username and a password. In terms of information system that has been created for the purposes of training and increased decision making in the training unit, in all provinces has got people that got access and has been trained in the legislative for managers that have been trained and that have access.
So if you see, can you see every single unit? You have information about every single one. It says which problem it is and so on. That's why I say everything that is presented you have. So if you want to access and you want to know about the clinic, you can actually access it. Maybe before you do overtime, you can do an assessment of the data. Then when you go, you have a first sample of the data that they have used. So it's information that
One additional point. What is also in terms of the issue of access and determining that they either don't know yet or how is the people going to get on. What we've done is we got from the state agency in South Africa, we got satellite photos. So we now have satellite photos of the whole country, and we can zoom into 20 kilometers from the earth, and you can actually get to see where the people is, and we can see what is the challenges in terms of the youth and the rivers and the dongas. When we plan health facilities, that we plan is where the people are staying. And we also have got from ESCOM the spot, they call it spot 5. So it's possible to superimpose that, and we can actually count the people staying in a certain area to be able to see if there are 100 people staying here or if there are 2,000 people staying here. And that's also a step to take decisions around the facility.
One omission was that the patient encounter, meaning in a facility, how many times people use that facility. We also have that information because from a planning point of view, if a facility is overutilized, we also know. We can always encourage people to be redirected. So we've done all of that, and it's information that you can access. That's what we think. But of course, it must be controlled access because it creates some security issues as well. Thank you.
Members, there are other items on the agenda for today. I'm not sure why. One second, no follow-ups, one second. Mabak Jan will be the last one.
Thank you, Secretary. I'm still worried about the issue of the system. Maybe it would be best for the department because we do oversight for aspect security. Should I give an example that you find a situation in hospital clinics, what times are disappearing? What times are disappearing? And not behind the stage, total people. So that is why I wanted us to unpack what do we mean by security at this community?
Ranto?
No, I just wanted to know the 100% of the people of training.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chief. I think, you know, you should just firstly commend the work that has been done around the gathering of information for police and so on. Now, my question is, whether are they planned to do the same thing in terms of, say, education, in terms of housing, and so on? So that when you plan, you don't have only have information about the health persons, but you also have information about other persons, like the police issues and so on.
That's an answer question. But you can answer. Okay. Hey, over to you.
Yes. Thank you very much. Let me thank the member for the question. The thing is that certain members, we have that information. We like, because we push up the truth. In fact, we have the information, we have the opportunity. Now, we looked at NISS requirements. This is about also the future of information. We have that, like I said, honorable member, it requires a much more solid community, because it's also something that we can do. Let me use one example, not as far as it is in George Kelly's. Had in Jordan Baru found files that can kill children and one of the files now what happens is that sometimes children files are not exactly known. What they do, every single thing they say, one of them will be out. And then when you come again, they even
make it so bad, yeah.
So what is this? You want them to check all the files. So, when you see the audit, what can be done? Because not only what is there. Now, if you have a priority system, you only know when the files are missing. So we started with the good running on keeping and managing. Now, the chairperson of the investigation and trying to learn from the story. The point about what the member was doing, we just started in partnership with basic education, as you know, you have four kinds of students. But it's only when you have MOU and health students and many other students in the Department of Health and for other
students.
Okay. 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 Okay.
Okay. Okay. Thanks very much, DG and your team, and thanks to the members for their discussions and comments and questions on this very detailed and comprehensive presentation that you have given us. We really appreciate that when we request the presentation as a committee, you really make a follow-up on those issues and come back to us, and you don't just disappear and you think that we will forget about them. Thank you very much. And the issue of the way forward, the issue of the breakdown on information per province, we will make a follow-up on that so that it's circulated to all members. We still expect that our secretariat will do that work, to make a follow-up. And also this document that we said you study it and provide some responses on it. We will see how do you communicate this to this institution that will return us this letter. And also the workshop for members, I don't know, the committee will be discussing its draft program after this meeting. We will see how we can find time to have that workshop that you are proposing for us to know how to access the information that you have seen that is necessary for us to understand. So on that note, I would like to thank you very much and thank the minister and the deputy minister again on what they have done in Mpumalanga. We really appreciate it as a committee. We hope that, that you will continue providing us for such services in other areas too. Thank you very much.
Thank
you. I want to say,
Uthenga ngene ipi newspaper? independent.
Oh, okay. So humble, Angel. But okay, I wanted to check because we have to talk about the program. Well, did it serve in management committee?
No.
The second chapter, so it will have to go better. Yeah, because that's what we insisted on, even in the previous meeting, that they should serve before the management committee. So we will take it out. There's also an invitation to the PCA. What was
it? Was my
first time. Already, yo, we are busy with next invitation.
Inauguration of the
PCA. Couldn't attend it, yes, okay. Of those members we were interviewing last time. Yeah.
That's about our members, it's already in Malanga.
Yeah. Well, yeah. No, there are others, it's just minutes. Yeah, just minutes. 2 minutes. Yeah. We have minutes, the 26th February. Okay, no, we can go. They don't tell me, they just tell me.
No,
I have no such message. Yeah. I have no such message in my phone. I always follow up on my messages. They should have said, we had been instructed meetings there, they should have hinted at least. Okay, remember, just 2 messages, 26 February? Yes. Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah, we're wasting our time because we were not part of this meeting.
Must
play around, innit? Yeah, come and sit down, Nancy Gafrapa. We have minutes here, 26 February, remember, page 1. Any comments? Amendments or changes? Page 2?
February.
Page 2? Page 3. Page 4. Page 5. Okay. Any move for the adoption of the minutes, members? Honorable Tivivia? Okay, thank you very much. Seconded by Honorable Makati. Okay, minutes of 5 of March. Attendant is no longer working. Yeah. Page 1. Okay. Page 1, page 2. Yes, Honorable Civilian.
I think that's just one thing, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Bullet. Mm-hmm.
As indicated in the following table, that table must be added.
Okay. Okay. At the table, huh? Mm-hmm. Table. Page 3. Page 4. Page 5. Any mover? Okay. Any seconder? Seconded by Honorable De Villiers.
Thank you very much, Honorable Member. That was the last item on the agenda. Thank you very much for your patience. You are a list. Do I also have to send that I wasn't part of the meeting?
Okay.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Oh, when is your
Do you remember that time when you said we should have them together?
That's why I'm asking.
That's
yes.
What I was asking.
Yes.
Unfortunately, you were not there. I didn't have a sponsor. Well, in that meeting when
oh, that day, we took a decision.
Oh, I was going to ask.
So we already have to check.
We took that decision long ago. I know that our management committee
was threatening our
management committee.
Yes.
Oh, so we are going to get it
day. Yes, but no, you have to do it when
no broad,
yes.
Yes,
yes, give us a date, yes. Yeah, and call us.
Yeah.
Because there are nobody in
the before the meeting, because what is
it? I'm not know. After that, you have to can we find time today or tomorrow?
Tomorrow, yeah.
They find time to do because it doesn't take long.
Yeah, we can after this thing, we can have a space for management.
Mm-hmm. What happened? Is there anything happened? Well, are we having a meeting tomorrow morning? We don't have a meeting tomorrow. It's just a time. Well, if it's in the afternoon, we can meet in the morning.
Hello. Yes. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good, how are you? You want to see my script?
You will see.
Are you done?
Yes. Are you done?
No, not yet.
Oh,